Sal Capaccio, Bill's sideline reporter for WGR, is with us on the WBEN TroCare College Lifeline this morning. A lot to get to. Let me start first, Sal, with the Bills getting down to a 53-man roster later today. Everybody's got their own rosters. And, you know, I'm looking at the fact that they cut two linebackers Sunday. One of them was Deion Jones, who had gotten significant playing time in preseason. How does that affect Joe Andreessen's chances of making this roster?
Yeah, good morning. It does increase his chances. Now you've released two linebackers. Shane Simon was the other. I don't think anybody really expected Shane Simon to make it, but you're down two linebackers. That leaves Terrell Bernard, Dorian Williams, Nicholas Morrow, Eddie Ulofosio, and Baylen Spector as the only healthy linebackers outside of Joe. Matt Milano, of course, we know he's not going to play for quite a while, if at all, this season. The Bills have some decisions to make. I think this might come down to what they feel about Baylen Spector's health, too. If they feel Baylen Spector is not going to be available, at least for the first several weeks, if they're concerned about his lack of availability over his first 3 years in his career, I think that also helps, you know, Joe's chances to be on the 53. But I did my projected 53, and I have Joe making it. I just think he's done enough, and I think the team would like to see, you know, this through, and his development has looked really good so far.
Yeah, it's the one name that everybody's really paying attention to when it comes to cut days. When are we expected to hear most of these cuts today? We've heard a few already. I mean, is it going to be down to the wire, happen earlier in the day? How does it typically work?
Well, there's two ways to hear it, right, Brian? So you're going to hear some things come out today from agents tweeting out something or the player himself. A lot of times in today's day of social media, the player, you know, is his own, you know, PR basically, right? Like, hey, great time, Buffalo. Thank you for the opportunity. Then we know the player has been released. You're also going to get sourcing from media members who hear things and put things out. We're getting that this morning from other, you know, teams. The Bills themselves can basically put that everything has to be filed with the league by 4 p.m. So they have to file all their transactions by 4 p.m. I went back and looked. Last year, the Bills didn't announce their cuts until 6 p.m. The year before that, 4:30 p.m. We might know everything before then based on everything I just said. But the Bills don't have to officially announce anything, and I wouldn't expect it until after 4 p.m. today.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Frank Gore Jr., had a lot of eyes on him lately. He had a great game over the weekend. Is there a scenario that you see where he makes this team?
No, I think he's a practice squad guy. And you're right. He did a great job. And a lot of eyes on him. And of course, you know, being Frank Gore Jr. with his dad, you know, and what he's done, and to me, a Hall of Fame career, you know, people are going to notice that. But I don't know if there's any room for him. James Cook is your top running back. Ray Davis is number two. He's had an excellent preseason. They drafted him. And I think the team really believes in Ty Johnson as their number three. He has been injured a little bit this preseason, but they gave him some work at kick return on Saturday, and I think that's just because he hadn't had any reps running the ball. They really like what he brings to the table. I think what it comes down to Frank Gore Jr. is, did he do enough for another team to say, we're going to claim you and bring you on our squad? But I still don't think, I think that might be a long shot, only because a lot of teams have guys like Frank Gore Jr. where they'd rather keep their own guy who knows their playbook than go outside and get somebody. But you never know. I mean, this happened with Rasheem Blackshear a few years ago with the Bills, a running back who he had a nice preseason, and then he gets waived, and the Carolina Panthers just claimed him. So he was gone. And by the way, he's been there for a few years now, so good for him. So the way it works is, if you are released today and you have less than 4 years total experience in the league, any team can claim you, and they just, you'll go on waivers, and if another team claims you, you're gone. So that's Joe Andreessen, too. If the Bills waive Joe Andreessen today, any team could just claim him. He has no right to say no. They just claim him, and then he's on their 53. If you've been in the league for longer than 4 years and you're released today, you become a free agent, and then you have say on where you ultimately wind up.
You know, I'll throw one more name at you, Sal, before we kind of move on to some other stuff here. And I don't think anyone's expecting this guy to make the team. I'm just curious as to what you thought about Gable Stevenson, the Olympic wrestler. You know, everyone's watching the Olympics over the summer, who, I mean, there's a lot of guys playing in their first NFL preseason. This guy played in his first football game, period, you know, ever during the preseason with the Bills. Did he make any noise? Are you expected to hear his name down the line, or was this just kind of a, you know, hey, we'll see what's out there and see if there's anything there?
What Gable Stevenson has done is put himself into a perfect position to be a practice squad candidate. And I don't know if that was even true a couple months ago. I really liked his game on Saturday. I think he's come a long way in a very short period of time. But that's a lot to ask for him to be on this 53-man roster and actually contributing in real NFL games, especially with Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, draft pick Dwayne Carter, Austin Johnson, Deshaun Williams. You know, there's guys on this team who are ahead of him. Ilyanku, he's been in this league for several years. So I think Gable Steveson is a great story from a football standpoint where he is now. And I think he's the kind of guy that you say, you know what, we still want to develop you. We've seen enough there where we get you for a whole year in our system and you keep practicing and you get paid to play football every day and be on the scout team. And hey, if you never, if something happens to a guy injured this year, we can always bring you up. And then we'll see where he is at the end of this year and into next season, next offseason. So good job by Gable Steveson to come this far. I suspect that he wouldn't make the 53, but I do think he's worked himself into a practice squad candidate.
On to guys who are definitely on the roster. Sal, Tyler Bass getting a lot of attention, mm-hmm. of course, the way last season went and some of the misses this preseason. He's going to be there. I guess the question here is, how short is the leash and what other options are really out there, if any?
Well, The leash has to be pretty long, because if they were to release Tyler Bass, and even now or later on, it would cost the team $7 million in dead cap money over the next 2 years. It would cost over $4 million this year and only save them $100,000. That's just something Brandon Bean's not interested in. But I'll tell you guys this, and I know people like might roll their eyes because, okay, he struggled. The Bills do believe in Tyler Bass. They believe that he can be the Tyler Bass that he was through his first few years in the league. He had a down year last year. The season didn't end the way anybody wanted, and he struggled with some confidence, I think, and that's what's happened here. And all it takes is a couple nice kicks to get your confidence back, get your swing back. And I think the Bills believe Tyler Bass can do that again. But at the same time, it's a lot of financials. There's a financial reason here, too, where you have to, you know, try to see this through to make sure that happens. And they didn't bring anybody in through this camp or preseason. No competition. So that shows you, A, and that might be because they wanted to make sure his confidence was right, and they don't want him looking over his shoulder. But who's out there, even if you do want to move on from Tyler Bass? Last week, there was a kicker named Cade York who was traded for a seventh-round pick. I had people tweeting me saying, oh my gosh, the Bills should have done this. I mean, Cade York has a worse field goal percentage than Tyler Bass. Why would you give up a trade asset, a draft asset, for a guy who isn't even as good? I know that he had a down year last year. He's still probably better than anybody on the market, and you'd be eating a lot of dead cap to get rid of him. So I just think this is something that is going to have to work itself out, and then down the road, if it really starts to become a problem in games, unfortunately, hopefully it doesn't cost games, then you have to revisit it.
Oh, a special meeting today of NFL owners could pave the way for the Pegulas to sell a minority stake in the team by the end of the year. What are you expecting?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to happen at some point, right? The two parts of this, which are the NFL is changing their rules to allow for private equity firms now to be minority holders in these teams. That was never the case before. But you guys see what these teams are going for. I mean, my numbers are correct. If I remember right, I think the Broncos sold for upwards of $5 billion, close to $6 billion. I mean, and what one person has that kind of money? The rules used to be that you had to have one person be like over a 50% owner and everything. You can't even do that these days. You have to have more. They're allowing a little bit more of a group share and things like that, but especially from this private equity situation. So, you know, Terry Pegula, it was announced, or at least we know through reporting, that he's looking for someone to, you know, buy 25% of a stake in the Buffalo Bills. Well, that 25% will go a long way, because remember, Terry Pegula owns both the Bills and the Sabres. That's money that can be used to help the overruns for the stadium, which we know are going to be, you know, in the hundreds of millions of dollars. That's money that can be used in, you know, other areas. If you want to kind of share that with the Sabres, and, you know, there's renovations have to be done, however they want to do that. What does it give the person if they buy that? They invest in that. Well, you're just an investor. It doesn't really give you any decision making. You're not going to owners meetings. You're not deciding on who the starting quarterback is or who you're going to draft. But, you know, you're going to be a 25% minority owner. And then down the road, if the Bills were ever to be sold, that person would already have a 25% stake, or the private equity firm would have a 25% stake. And that's where you have to figure out, you know, how all that washes out.
Well, Sal, appreciate the time this morning and look forward to talking with you again soon. Sal Capaccio covers the Bills for WGR, joining us on the Trocare College Live Line. Sal's appearance brought to you by Batavia Downs Gaming. We don't just want you to like coming here, we want you to love coming here.